Welcome to Chasing the Word on Compassion Radio.
Hi, it's Compassion Radio, and it's our Chasing the Word series on the red letters. And this is the first time we actually see him interacting with another spiritual force out there. This episode is going to be about the temptation of Jesus.
Honestly, it's quite interesting to figure out what to focus on.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of meat. It's not super long. I mean, it's only about 10 or 12 verses.
And because the Lectio is part of our plan for this, we are going to be asking and inviting you as our listeners to join with us in entering the scripture, but find a thing that's important to you for this bunch of scriptures.
Yeah.
You and I are going to kind of find out what God stirred in our hearts about these particular verses for each of us. This adventure of going into the scripture and asking God, ring a bell, do something so I can actually grab onto something in this that would mean something for me right now, today. Good grief. We should be able to have something fresh and new every time we approach the word anyway.
Well, that's what you hope for sure. For a lot of years, it was easy for me just to say, okay, I'm going to read this passage, follow along with a devotional guide. I'm not saying those things are not good. They are. They're helpful. But reading scripture the way we have been doing it through Lectio Divina gives us a more focused look into the scripture itself. Mm-hmm. There's no commentary with it. When you just read the word, it's the word.
Yeah.
Allow yourself to trust the Spirit to use that word to speak to your heart.
In this case, this is the only scripture I know of where Jesus speaks in the first person where we get it by hearsay. In other words, that there weren't other witnesses with him for this temptation. He's having to give his own report and explain to the disciples what happened to him while he was gone for 40 days. He was at the end of the human extreme experience by the time this event happened, and he wrestled it out like Jacob did with God. Well, Jesus did that with the devil in the desert. Who's going to be supreme here? Whose will is going to prevail? What's really important about having a meaningful and productive life? And what truly brings us into a place where we're giving God glory and receiving from him all that we were meant to experience for being his children? All that's contained in this little story. So we have to trust that when Jesus said to his disciples, this is what I went through, and here's what the devil said, here's what I said, that he's not just making up a fairy tale. He's actually talking about a personal experience. And so they took him seriously when he said, I, in fact, talked with the devil.
Today's scripture, the one that we're going to be using, is found in Matthew chapter 4. This story is also found in Luke chapter 4. And there's a little snippet in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 1 just about the event. There's no words of Jesus there. So, honey, why don't you read the scripture from Matthew?
We've been using the ICB, which is the International Children's Bible, that reads so conversationally. And the study guide with all the references that we'll be using on every one of these weeks is available on our Compassion Radio website every week. So please, if you'd like to journal it yourself, that PDF download is available to you for free. Now this is from, again, the book of Matthew, chapter 4. Then the Spirit led Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Jesus ate nothing for 40 days and nights. After this, he was very hungry. The devil came to Jesus to tempt him, and the devil said, If you are the Son of God, tell these rocks to become bread. Jesus answered, It is written in the scriptures, a person does not live only by eating bread, but a person lives by everything the Lord says. Then the devil led Jesus to the holy city of Jerusalem, and he put Jesus on the very high place of the temple. The devil said, If you are the Son of God, jump off. It is written in the scriptures, He has put his angels in charge of you. They will catch you with their hands. You will not hit your foot upon a rock. Jesus answered him, It also says in the scriptures, Do not test the Lord your God. Then the devil led Jesus to the top of a very, very high mountain. He showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and all the great things that are in those kingdoms. The devil said, If you will bow down and worship me, I will give you all these things. Jesus said to the devil, Go away from me, Satan. It is written in the scriptures, You must worship the Lord your God. Serve only him. So the devil left Jesus, and then some angels came to Jesus and helped him.
Jesus is responding to the temptations, responding to the devil's words from the book of Deuteronomy. So he's quoting Torah back to the devil. So when he does this the first time, the devil's like, oh, I'll bring a scripture into it too. And then he quotes from the book of Psalms. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus back at him, you know, yeah. with Torah again. That shows me that he is learned in the scriptures.
Oh, yeah. They had memorized it. I mean, most of the disciples, we don't give them a lot of credit for being educated people, but we do know that if you had any schooling at all back then, it was like what they have for madrasas now in the Muslim world, where you memorize things mm-hmm. by rote, whole books. And so those young men that came to be part of the disciples' crew would have memorized large sections of scripture already. Mm-hmm. And that's why it was so intriguing for Jesus to bring them to life to them. But Jesus certainly had memorized the entire Torah.
Yeah.
And probably most of the Tanakh too, if not all of it. As a human being, the words coming out in Aramaic, he would have known them. And so you speak it out. That's what your prayers are. You're speaking God's word back to him. That's what prayer was. We forget sometimes that the Bible intends for us to understand that all of who we are does flow out of his word first. Mm. And so what we speak back to him is creative because it's from our hearts. And even the notion of language did not get into us until God gave us that capability.
Yeah. Well, you know, a few years ago when we were walking through some of the Psalms of David and then we did the Psalms of Ascent, we encouraged our listeners to pray these scriptures yes. as they were studying it. And I have always found that when I do that, when I pray a scripture back to God, especially the Psalms of David, because he was so raw and so open and honest, I find that to be very enlightening for me. And it's also super encouraging because it's a beautiful way of communication with God. And I don't have to come up with some eloquent speech on my own, which actually, Jesus says, don't do that. Don't be like the Pharisees. Pray with your heart. And that's what David did.
Well, think about speaking in somebody else's words. It always seems to have a certain kind of gravitas. I've been at funerals where part of the eulogy starts off with, this is the letter from the deceased. He wanted me to read this to you.
Yeah.
And suddenly those words have deep meaning because they're literally from beyond the grave.
Right.
Those kind of experiences we have in our own culture, we realize there's a certain kind of seriousness about this. That the presence of the person seems to come to life in us because we know that person. And we're just talking about a mortal who's now gone beyond somewhere else. Jesus is speaking his own words from creation. He was there to create it.
That's right.
On that mystical level of whatever it means to be, the Word was God and the Word was with God and did all these things and created all things. He's not just reading back something that he read. He is embodying something that brought him to life as a human, but was him to bring life to all. For him, it's got to be a deep, deep cycle.
Yeah.
So as he's saying it back to the devil, dude, you don't even know who you're messing with at this point, you would think. From the way the devil talks to him, saying, I have the power to give you something.
Yeah.
Jesus is saying,
your own creation.
Don't even try to tempt me. Yeah. That, I think, is pretty darn clear with the way he says it, that every one of these things is not a clap back at the devil like he's mocking the devil. It is establishing authority.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that one phrase in there that people have hung on a lot is, do not tempt the Lord your God, is one of the first times that we catch in the Word of God that Jesus, the person, is saying to the devil this time, I and the Father are one.
Mm.
Not talking about third person, my Father in heaven. He's saying, do not tempt the dude in front of you.
Yeah.
This is what Jesus is really saying to the devil.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of it that way before. I think that's a really great way to look at it. In some ways, reading through this, it's almost like three strikes, you're out, devil. I mean, you do these things. And so the devil left. It just, this is kind of how it ends. And I think that is so funny. Here the devil is throwing hard balls at Jesus. You know, he's really going after him, offering him things that a lot of us would be tempted very strongly to accept.
And is the world not completely tempted in every generation toward these things? I mean,
Yeah. Think
of all the wars that are being fought right now for supremacy. I mean, nations are getting challenged to the point of possibly not existing because some other nation wants to have supremacy over them. They want that power desperately.
Yeah.
And people die for these things. And it's happening all around us right now. There are wars in the Middle East again.
Mm.
There are wars across Europe. There are wars in Southeast Asia. This has not been a peaceable time the past few years in the world at large. But when the devil tempts Jesus by saying, look out about all these things across all the worlds, what does Jesus see when he looks out over those things? I think about that sometimes. When the devil says, you can have all of this. I'm not sure that Jesus is seeing the same thing the devil's seeing.
Mm.
When evil looks on the world and says, I own this. I rule this. And Jesus looks at it, I think, from his heart and says, I made this.
Yeah.
He's not looking at a rule or a way to impose himself on the world. He already, from the very atoms that it is made up of, was there to make sure it happened.
Yeah.
And for him, the response has got to be one of love.
Well, the devil wants power, craves power, and he assumes, possibly, that Jesus would get that, would want that too. But Jesus did not come to rule over us. He came to walk alongside us, to show us by example what it looks like to really love God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That is the kind of king we want, someone who shows us by example. We love teachers that we remember from school days that were such a great example of how to do things. A teacher that doesn't just say, oh, read the instructions and then follow it, but I'll show you how to do this. Or our parents showing us how to do things. We love that because it also empowers us in some ways to have our own agency to do things.
And it connects us with expertise and with mentorship and all the things about love, really.
Yeah.
If someone loves you enough to show you how to do something and wants to pass on knowledge, it's not just because they want necessarily to reinforce their talent and reproduce it and you like you're a robot. Because they love the thing they're doing, what they're about, and they're happy to share with you to learn how to love things, even if it's not the exact same thing I love.
Yeah.
Compassion Radio will continue to keep bringing you encouragement from the Word, inspiring stories from the front lines of faith, and awesome opportunities to make a difference for the kingdom around the world. But we need your help right now to continue doing just that. Remember, friends, Compassion Radio is always a coalition of the willing. Are you willing to help get out God's good news stories of the kingdom really living the gospel in the 21st century? Oh, I hope so. Just visit our website, CompassionRadio.com, or call our toll-free order line, 1-800-868-2478. You can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, no matter where you are. And our mailing address is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. Reach out to us whatever way works for you. And now, back to our discussion.
They're happy to share with you to learn how to love things, even if it's not the exact same thing I love.
Yeah.
Even if you don't become the painter I am or the songwriter I am, whatever. If you learn to love the things that you can do and get really good at them, that is a joy for any good teacher.
That makes me think of my nanny who taught me how to crochet when I was a little girl. You know very well how much I enjoy crochet, especially in the wintertime. It gives something for my hands to do and to stay warm. And we have multiple blankets that I have crocheted. I think of my nanny when I'm crocheting because it was such a special time. It was very much time spent with her in showing me how to hold my hands and how to make stitches and how to change colors, all of these things that you need to know when you're crocheting something. And that to me was her labor of love in some ways. It was a way that she could not only teach me something beautiful, but to spend time with me focused. And as a little girl, wow, I mean, that was huge.
Yeah.
I loved it.
And you see the love in the art in the making, and you see the evidence of the love in the finished product. And that brings you back around to the love you have for the person that taught you the skill in the first place. It's always going in circles.
Right.
Well, I see Jesus seizing onto the thing that is real in these three temptations, and the devil trying to offer him all of the world's counterfeits.
Oh, yeah.
For him, it's by cruelty express your power.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says, who are you if cruelty is the thing that makes you who you are?
Ooh.
Which do we identify with now? And I would say there's a big test in the world right now about what direction humanity and even the church around the world is going to turn when it comes to, are you following the words of Jesus in the hard way? The things that are not popular, the things that are not powerful, the things that won't get you any glory in the world right now, that's resurging into a kind of a new neo-paganism. Or do you want to play it to the max here and become the ruler of all your domains, a nation under yourself, one nation under me? That's the kind of tug of war that I see happening in the world at large right now. I wonder at the very end of those temptations, what was Jesus going through? The devil left him. Is Jesus stuck on top of the temple, teetering around like he's going to fall off the roof anyway? We don't know how the story wraps up, but I do think in some ways it's literal and it's metaphorical. Mm. I do think that however their eyes and spirits could project themselves to be there, both those entities were on that roof of that temple. I do love that Jesus says what he says and the devil fled. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the temple itself at that moment, with Jesus upon it, is literally sovereign. Mm. And it is sanctified. The temple in that moment is pure. There is no evil because Jesus is at the pinnacle overseeing all of it. It is his grace, his mercy, his wings of mercy that are covering the temple even in that moment.
How often do we feel like we are tested or tempted when we are exhausted?
No.
I think that shows here Satan is very aware of our condition, of our physical, our mental, our emotional condition. He's aware of it.
Sometimes I think we're tested by the things that we're suffering or going through, or we're exhausted, and that's the temptation or the test.
Yeah.
I don't think it is. I think it's the prep. Strip away all the things that you think will keep you strong in difficult situations, that you don't have that strength anymore. What's really left of you is where the temptation is going to come.
Right. We need to turn the corner here now and start the Lectio.
Remember, folks, as we read the Lectio, these questions are meant to focus us on something in there that grabs our heart and becomes the theme for us today on that scripture.
Lectio Divina is a form of divine reading. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us through these readings as we listen and as we engage with the scripture. So I'll pray for us now. Holy Spirit, open our ears and our hearts and our minds to hear your word. Speak, for your servants are listening. Amen. As Bram reads the scriptures, I want you to listen for a word or phrase that is addressed to you. Maybe something that stirs your heart or even makes you uncomfortable.
Jesus answered, "It is written in the scriptures, a person does not live only by eating bread, but a person lives by everything the Lord says." Jesus answered the devil, "It also says in the scriptures, do not test the Lord your God." Jesus said to the devil, "Go away from me, Satan. It is written in the scriptures, you must worship the Lord your God. Serve only him."
As we read it again, is there an image or a feeling that sticks with you? Ask yourself, what in my life needs to hear this word or phrase?
Jesus answered, "It is written in the scriptures, a person does not live only by eating bread, but a person lives by everything the Lord says." Jesus answered the devil, "It also says in the scriptures, do not test the Lord your God." Jesus said to the devil, "Go away from me, Satan. It is written in the scriptures, you must worship the Lord your God. Serve only him."
This time, ask the Holy Spirit if there is an invitation for you. How is this word or phrase a gift for you today?
Jesus answered, "It is written in the scriptures, a person does not live only by eating bread, but a person lives by everything the Lord says." Jesus answered the devil, "It also says in the scriptures, do not test the Lord your God." Jesus said to the devil, "Go away from me, Satan. It is written in the scriptures, you must worship the Lord your God. Serve only him."
This time, as Bram reads the scripture, just rest in it. Hold the word or phrase as you sit in silence. Thank God for his gift for you today.
Jesus answered, "It is written in the scriptures, a person does not live only by eating bread, but a person lives by everything the Lord says." Jesus answered the devil, "It also says in the scriptures, do not test the Lord your God." Jesus said to the devil, "Go away from me, Satan. It is written in the scriptures, you must worship the Lord your God. Serve only him."
Resolve to carry this gift with you into your day. Remind yourself often what this word or phrase meant to you, and when you're able, journal your thoughts about it.
I so wish at times like this we had a program that ran for an hour. A couple of questions, of course. Each one of the ones we ask in Lectio, we have thoughts ourselves, and we did Lectio first before we did the program. And we'll try to get to some of those answers today, too. But first of all, the very first question is, what sticks out to you?
Yeah, to me, I was struck by the phrase, a person lives by everything the Lord says.
For me, it was, the scriptures also say.
So what was the image or feeling that you got from that phrase?
The devil, of course, doesn't just want to twist things. He wants to get his way, and he wants you to go his way. He will use whatever means are necessary, including the things we are so certain about that God has already said. And he will find a way to make it seem absolutely perfect for your situation. The Spirit of God often answers us back by saying, well, that's a way to twist it. You know what? I'm also here saying this. So what does that tell you about what you're hearing from that source?
Mm-hmm. What in your life needed to hear that today?
Social media.
Wow.
We have to interact with it with people across all kinds of backgrounds and kinds of political persuasions or religious traditions. And that's how we keep in touch with the world. We find the people we actually interview on our programs. But it's also community, or should be. There's a lot of things getting twisted up in the world that's really eating us alive in a lot of directions. So I have to be hopefully discerning, but I can't really do that with my own thoughts all the time. Mm-hmm. I can get wrapped up in an argument like anybody else can. If I'm asking God, what else do you have to say about this? What other scriptures should I be thinking of right now as opposed to what I'm thinking right away? I don't want to get wrapped up in the devil's plans either for using the word of God against me and against his purposes.
Yeah, sometimes that's hard to do.
How about you?
I had this image of eating the Bible, just eating the word of God, being nourished by it. I think the part of me that needed that was, I mean, you mentioned social media. That's a big one for me, too. I have to make sure that I'm not nourished by social media.
Or malnourished.
But I also just thought that is the true nourishment for me. That's the thing that needs to keep me going. That was part of the image that I had. What I needed to hear from it, but it also just moved directly into the invitation. And that's nourish yourself, Sandy, on the word of God. Sometimes I pray and I write down what I'm hearing as if it's God speaking to me. And I think that the Spirit was saying, find nourishment in my words only. Trust that they will keep you safe and sustain you. Other books are good, but don't rely on them to nourish your soul. You know how I love books.
And we read some great philosophers and theologians. It's not like we're not feeling nourished by the people that really do know the Word of God and speak well and give us new thoughts. But when it comes down to brass tacks, if it's the only thing we feed on, it's going to come up short. That's true. There are a zillion different translations now available to us that really broaden our conception of what could possibly have been said and all the ways it is being said. We are so filthy rich with knowledge and translation. We are not stuck with one dusty old translation.
Right.
We've got a lot of living people giving it to us in big old heaping spoonfuls anytime we want to fill our bowl up.
Right.
So why not jump in there?
That was a gift for me, too, because it reminds me that I do love the Word of God. I do love Scripture. I can always find nourishment in that. So what was the invitation for you?
The invitation was to find Jesus in these things, the final say, really, on any given subject, but not just a subject. How do you approach the Word of God? How do you say, it's in me? How do you find out if it is in you? Jesus makes it really clear that it just flows out of him because he's feasting on it all the time.
Yeah.
The gift is I can know what I'm really thinking or if it's really on track by one thing. If at the end of my thought process or my thinking about somebody else's thoughts about the Word of God lead me to a place where I have a judgment about something or somebody, and that's what I end up with, the word's been used against me, against my good nature. I end up with thoughts of Jesus, who he is, and what he's expressed in his love, the way he handled people. Then I know I'm on the right track. If it comes back around to Jesus, we've got it. We're talking about a whole person here, one who's deeply embedded with God, power, and love, and joy. He's not just here to judge or to suffer. He does all these things because of his nature. His first contact with us is to love, and his presence is enough to sustain us.
So how is this a gift for you?
He'll reveal it. I should not be afraid to read the word, even the tough passages, and say, I do not get this. I don't get how this fits in with the Jesus I think I know.
Right.
And say that to him. And Jesus will say, I got you. You're not the first one that's been struggling with this. We may or may not get a lot of answers on the things that bother us now. But he does promise us we'll get him.
That's good. I like that.
Building thought from you?
I just really love taking the literal words of Jesus that we have recorded, really thinking through what those things mean for my life, how I interact with the rest of the world. Yeah, that's my final thought on that, I think.
Well, friends, thanks for joining us on the Compassion Radio, chasing the word on the red letters, and this being the temptations of Jesus. We probably could have broken all three of these up into three different programs. Thank you for bearing with us for being a very crammed program today. We'll be back with more of the words of Jesus in the red letters with next week's Chasing the Word. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.
We'll be taking on bigger, more ambitious, more important projects than we have ever done before, bringing the compassion of Christ into the very center of the world's greatest conflicts. To get there, we need to raise some serious support and to do it soon. Call us today, friends, and let us know you're standing with us. 1-800-868-2478.
Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877.
And we're on the web 24/7 at CompassionRadio.com. It's time, friends, to join us for some great adventures in faith this year. We'll see you tomorrow.